got it.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
I'll tell you what, man.
Got to have it all the time, can't live without it.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
I'm not talking to you. I talk to anybody out there, the haters.
The Rich Eisen Show with guest host Kirk Morrison.
He is one of the all-time friggin' greats.
Earlier on the show, NFL Network insider Ian Rappaport. From the Houston Chronicle, Aaron Wilson. Coming up, senior writer for Sports Illustrated, Chris Mannix. And now, sitting in for Rich, it's Kirk Morrison.
It's the Rich Eisen Show. I'm Kirk Morrison filling in for Rich. Rich on vacation. He'll be back, what, Monday, I believe. So I know he's much needed. Much needed time to rest, relax a little bit. And I'm glad to always be in with my guys, Brockman, Del Tufo, TJ over there, hanging out over on the putting green.
You know,
man, good to see y'all. Seriously, I really do.
I was trying to think. When was the last time you were through this way?
It was probably right before the end of the pandemic. Yeah. Right. I mean, the start of the pandemic.
Right.
Being here with the whole crew, and like I said, I always feel like it's home when I'm here at the Rich Eisen Show. You guys always treat me great, and I get excited. You know, the night before, I'm always like, man, okay, what are we going to talk about? What should I do? And this and that. And, like, as soon as I get here, it's just like, I wish we had, like, a barbecue grill going.
Where we go.
You know, get a barbecue grill going.
That would be
the party, pal.
You know, a couple of adult beverages and things like that. But
we need one of those sponsors.
All good. But, yeah, you know what? Let's go to line one, too, though. We've had some callers in, too.
Let's do it.
844-204 Rich, 844-204-7424. Let's go to line one.
Yeah, Kirk, it's Shane in Boulder. Wants to talk some Chicago sports with you. Shane, what's happening?
What's up, Shane?
Hey, how's it going, Kurt? How's it going, fellas?
Hey,
man. What you got, Shane?
Hey, all I got to say is Bulls Nation is back, baby.
As a 10 seed, but go ahead.
as a what?
As a 10 seed, man. Right now you guys are 10th in the Eastern Conference, but it's all good. No, you good.
Hey, listen. Vucevic is a double-digit rebounder. We haven't had that since Joakim Noah. Mm-hmm. It's going to be huge, brother.
Okay, that's the basketball side. What about the football side? You said you were just
I got football too. So on the other end, Ted Phillips, president of the Bears organization, at the end of the season said, "We're in this business to be a business for sure." You lost my business, brother, from what you've done this offseason. Guess what? Wow. Robert Kraft won so many Super Bowls. After what he's done this offseason, he says he's in this business to not be a business. He's in this business to win, baby.
Hey, baby.
Oh, when Bears games are on, my TV's off. When Patriots games are on, my TV's on. You could thank Ted Phillips for that one, Bears.
Mm. Well, I guess I appreciate the phone call, Shane. That's a little bit different.
Speak to the Bears, though. Does he have a right? Do Bears fans should they be worried? How did you see their offseason? Andy Dalton comes in.
I'm always
the failed worried. Coup at Russell Wilson.
Okay, so if I'm thinking about free agency, right, and I'm thinking about where I want to go, why would Chicago be my destination? Honestly. And this is because you've got a lame duck coach in Matt Nagy. You got a lame duck general manager in Ryan Pace. And why I call him lame duck is because they were told they're coming back, but you know this is a one-year situation. So it's almost as if, and I remember I had a coach telling me, he said, sometimes you don't want to go to a place where the boat's already sinking, right? Why would you jump on board a boat that's already kind of going down? Mm-hmm. Because they got to save their butts. They got to figure out how do we win right now and right away. And you look at that roster right now currently, people forget they did make the playoffs last year. They did. It's not like they were a bad, bad team and they were down near the bottom of the NFC.
They were 5-1 to start the year.
They actually were of the 7 best records in the NFC out of 16. It's not terribly bad, but they want to see more results. And so where do those results come from? Where would the decisions be made? And at the end of the day, who is going to be in it for themselves and not in it for the team? That's what happens. Because sometimes you get finger pointing, and this is one year. So does Matt Nagy say, if I'm going to go out, I'm going to go out my way? And now Ryan Pace, who's the general manager, we're going to go out with these players.
Right.
And so that, to me, is sort of where I don't believe in the Chicago Bears because of that dynamic, because a lot has to happen for them in order to get them to become one of those upper echelon teams of the NFC, because they don't have the signal caller because of the drafting of Mitch Trubisky. Look, Mitch Trubisky at the beginning, was he overdrafted? Yes. I think it was Mitch Trubisky. Was he available later in the draft? Possibly. Yes, he could have been. I don't know if people were trading up to get Mitch Trubisky, especially we see the other quarterbacks where were drafted after him. But right. Still, they blew that. That alone is something that is almost kind of you can't get from underneath. Right? You can't get from out of that. That is that's who you are.
So then how does Ryan Pace still have his job?
Yeah. That's
because when you take a big swing like the Bears did on a quarterback, you trade up to get the guy.
Correct.
And now that guy is not on your team anymore. He's now a backup in Buffalo.
Yeah.
Then how does the guy who made the decision still have decision-making capabilities with your organization?
Because they did still go to the playoffs in his, three or four seasons for Trubisky? It's not like they didn't make the playoffs. They made the playoffs a couple times. And then also they had a guy by the name of Khalil Mack as well.
Oh, right.
He made for that trade. So he's made some moves. But the most important move is the quarterback. You get that move right, then people tend to be a little lenient with you.
Yeah.
You know, they're like, okay, he's okay. But this one is a little bit different because they went all in on Mitch Trubisky.
Yeah, and it failed.
It failed miserably.
And your wide receiver's unhappy. You had to let go of your all-pro safety. It just hasn't gone well. Ryan Leaf sat in yesterday and said that he doesn't really put the blame really on Mitch. The team around Mitch was terrible.
Yeah, but they still went to the playoffs, though. They went to the playoffs. I mean, they were
But they're one and done.
Yeah, but they were they were a double doink away from advancing in the playoffs, getting to a divisional round. Like, there are some things. Like, what if Trubisky did get to the divisional round, and I believe who missed that kick? Was it? I can't think of his name.
Cody Parkey.
Parkey, it was Parkey.
We just call him Doink Doink.
Doink. Around these
I thought it was Parkey or not, because I saw he got released or he got signed the other day. I forgot. I'm like, he's still kicking for the Browns, I believe. But anyway, the double doink, and all of a sudden, Trubisky's starting a divisional round game. And, I mean, I saw him make plays, and I saw him not make plays. He made Pro Bowls, but still, I think you still get a little bit of a pass. I think the hard part is that the guys who were just drafted after him.
Yeah.
If there was quarterbacks drafted after him that didn't really pan out, it's one thing. We're talking about Watson. We're talking about Mahomes. And you're like,
Two top five guys.
We passed up on those two guys and got this. And now it's like that investment that you have. At the end of the day, you have nothing left. Like, that investment is dried up. It's gone. So you wasted all that draft capital to trade with the 49ers to get up to number two to get Mitch Trubisky. Wasn't worth it.
Yeah, now the quarterbacks that are left with going into 2021, fine guys.
Yeah.
Super Bowl MVP, Nick Foles. And now Andy Dalton, that the social media team at the Bears have declared as QB1.
Man. When they found out they weren't getting Russell Wilson, because look, they tried to make a pull at. I think that was Ryan Pace and Matt Nagy realizing, look, this is our last year. If we don't get this thing right, we are done. So I see why you give up, two or three first-round picks, a couple of starters, and yet Seattle said that's not good enough for us because they need that kind of player. They need that next – because these quarterbacks on the roster still, they're just holdovers. They're still not quarterbacks for the future, right? Let's go back to the phone lines, too. We got another phone call.
Anthony in Las Vegas wants to talk some Raiders with you, Kirk.
Oh,
Anthony,
man.
What's happening?
Kirk, what's going on? Brockman, Del Tufo.
Hey.
Joe, what's going on?
What's up?
What's up, man? Kirk, I just have a question for you. So, when you first started as your rookie and stuff like that, we were talking about, in the previous hour with, Nnamdi Asamoah and Sapp and all those stories that you could tell. Not a lot of people really remember this guy or whatever, but in 2005, the sacks leader, Derek Burgess, if you can maybe share a little bit of a story about, how he went about his day and, obviously how he worked out as an athlete, and I'll hang up and listen. Thank you.
Yeah. So 2005, Derek Burgess, I believe he made the Pro Bowl that year, I want to say. You got to give me the number of sacks. I just remember at the end of the season, I was in a limo with him, and we were heading to an event. I believe.
Derek Burgess, 16 sacks.
Yeah, he has 16 sacks.
Pro Bowl, the
Pro Bowl 2005.
Yeah. Big year.
He was a big free agent signing coming off, I mean, coming from the Philadelphia Eagles. He had just started against the Patriots in Super Bowl, I forget what number it was, but in 38? Jacksonville.
Yeah.
And so Burgess came over, and so I didn't really know much about him. I just knew that when it was time to go play, Burgess was a guy who, when you ask me who a guy who practiced and then went out there, he was that guy. He would take his practice reps. He would just go out there and ball and didn't say nothing. I think he went to Ole Miss, and he just – he was one of those dudes that when you see him, like, you didn't want to mess with him. Like, he had that dad look. You know what I mean?
Like, or, that stern.
That stern. Yeah, like, he didn't have to say anything. He spoke with his eyes. You know what I mean? And, like, nobody messed with Burgess. Burgess was that dude, man. One of my great teammates as well that I played with. But he was, I mean, he watching, I wish fans could see how athletic some of these defensive linemen are, especially defensive ends. And I know you guys been to practices before, and you always see the hula hoop, right? Those big giant hoops.
Yep.
And people will say, what the hoops for? What are the hoops for? The hoops are how fast can you run the hoop? And there are just certain guys who have this natural ability to bend and literally their shoulder can graze the grass as they're running full speed. Mm-hmm. I hope that visual works for a lot of people, but to be able to run in a circle with yet your body leaning toward the ground to where your shoulder can almost touch, like that's what the great pass rushers are able to do. He was one of those guys that was able to do that, right? J.J. Watt's able to have a good dip, right? It's all about the dip. Von Miller, I mean, he's just a freak. Dwight Freeney was another guy that did, yes. These guys can run faster in a hoop than some of them can do straight forward, like in a straight line. So, man, Derek Burgess, that was another teammate of mine. I loved playing with him, too. He was a fast, just tenacious guy. And, yeah, man, just it's those types of players that, like I said, sometimes I didn't play on those Super Bowl teams, those playoff teams, but I was around guys who gave me so much knowledge
and wisdom
how to play. And yeah, you know what? That's what it was. Burgess did leave me with one thing, and I use it a lot, because my first game, 2005, we lost to the Patriots. That first game, week one in Foxborough. And I remember it's been a theme of today, but I remember I was in the locker room and I was crying, right? I was like, I'm upset, because in the NFL, you put so much work into it, right? It is a week-long grind, and you have to pass that test one day a week. And you don't pass the test, you get upset. And I remember I was upset. I was crying. I'm up, whatever. And Burgess came in the locker room, and I want to say he like kind of slapped me on my leg and said, "Boy, what you crying for? You can't cry over spilled milk. That milk gone. Let's go get some new milk." And I was like, okay.
That's good.
When I realized what the NFL was about. Mm-hmm. It's like, you can't cry over the spilled milk. That milk is done. It's gone. Now go out and go get some more milk. And that's where I realized, hey, every week that milk sometimes may spill, but that's the part where you have to go out and keep getting the new milk. So, yeah.
Yeah, and you're talking about, hey, you never made the playoffs in your career. I want to know what went wrong in Oakland, but is it as easy as saying you just didn't have that quarterback when you were there?
Yeah, quarterback. And that's what it comes down to.
And look at some of the names. We know that you played with Jamarcus Russell, too, but – Kerry Collins, Andrew Walter, Dante Culpepper, Jamarcus Russell, all guys.
Aaron Brooks.
Yeah.
Marcus Tuiasosopo, Charlie Fry. You remember that name? Yeah.
Yeah.
Golly, I can just name off names. I mean, one of my buddies, Bruce Gradkowski, I remember he started a couple games.
And you had left the team before Carson Palmer came over, right?
Before Carson came there. But that's how I know how important that position is. Like, when you have that position solidified – you can build around the rest of the team. Like, there's just certain guys that regardless, this is what I always say, the mark of a franchise quarterback is when a guy that no matter what happens, bad special teams, bad defensively, he can still make you right. Like, guys like Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers, Peyton Manning, those guys can make Drew Brees, they can make you right even when so much is going wrong. And that's what franchise quarterbacks are about. When it comes to the NBA, though, fellas, like, there's certain players who can make you right regardless of who you have on the team. And coming up next, we'll talk to Chris Mannix because there's been some trades going down in the NBA. We're about 45 minutes away from the end of the trade deadline. And we'll see if there's any moves that can make some of these teams whole and be viable contenders for the NBA Finals. Chris Mannix coming up next here on The Rich Eisen Show. Kirk Morrison filling in for Rich.
Let's talk Game Time. Boy, do we love using Game Time tickets at The Rich Eisen Show. And every single time I've been watching the basketball playoffs on TV, I've been wondering what it would be like to be at these games. And when you choose your tickets on Game Time, you can see the view from your seat, where the court is, where you are in relation to it. And then the all-in prices, that's my favorite feature. The all-in prices makes sure that you see the lowest price guarantee and also know exactly how much everything costs all in before you purchase. So all the guesswork is removed when you buy playoff tickets with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use my code RICH for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Visit GameTime.co for restrictions. Again, create an account, redeem my code RICH for $20 off your first purchase. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed. Hey, folks, it's time for the NFL draft, which means for me, I need a good night's sleep, because if I don't have one, I'm just not myself. You know the deal. You know exactly how important it is to have quality sleep. It's a game changer for all of us. So Sleep Number helps me. My Sleep Number setting is 60. My wife's setting is 70. We both get a great night's sleep because we could adjust the firmness of our mattress on each side. Improve your quality sleep because Sleep Number learns how you sleep thanks to their smart beds and provide personalized insights to help you sleep better. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
This is The Rich Eisen Show.
Welcome back to The Rich Eisen Show. Kirk Morrison here filling in for Rich. Brockman, Del Tufo, TJ, hey. All with me as well. And look, a big day in the NBA. It's trade deadline day. We got about less than 40 minutes before the trade deadline will have been done. It's completed. And what you got is what you got. And obviously, there's secondary buyout market stuff. And that's, I'll leave that up to Chris Mannix, who joins me right now on Twitter at SI Chris Mannix. He's a senior writer for Sports Illustrated, also the host of the Crossover podcast. And Chris, so far, any surprises so far as we head to the deadline for the trade deadline?
I think Chicago's aggressive move to get Nikola Vucevic was something of a surprise. Vucevic was available with Orlando, as we can see the Magic are kind of now going all in on a teardown, but the asking price was believed to be pretty high. It was pretty high. I mean, the Bulls gave up real assets to get Vucevic away, but they believe that having a 30-year-old all-star in Vucevic, a mid-20s all-star in Zach LaVine, that was a pretty good foundation to build on. Other than that, you knew Evan Fournier was going to move. You knew Aaron Gordon was going to move. And now, as we kind of sit here, it's just sort of waiting on Kyle Lowry at this point. And, you know, the Raptors are committed to dealing him in the next 40 minutes. You saw them make the move that sent Norman Powell to Portland. That's a pretty strong indication of their direction. Whether it is, I believe, just the Heat and Lakers are the two teams that are currently bidding. One of those two teams, I believe, will get Kyle Lowry.
What do you think is the compensation for a Kyle Lowry? Because we know the Lakers and you know, a lot of other teams don't necessarily have first-round picks. So what could the compensation be for a Kyle Lowry?
Well, neither the Lakers or Heat have first-round picks they can deal. Miami could get creative a little bit and go to Oklahoma City to try to have some of the protections that are on picks they've traded them in the past lifted. But, you know, draft compensation is not going to be the centerpiece of this deal. It's going to be young players, and both the Heat and Lakers have young pieces to offer. The Lakers will include Dennis Schroeder in a deal for Kyle Lowry. Schroeder is having another excellent season after being, I think he was runner-up for Sixth Man of the Year last year. So that's a piece. But the Raptors are going to hold out. I mean, you know, Talen Horton-Tucker is the jewel of this Lakers young group, and that's someone I believe the Raptors want to get their hands on. And in Miami, while the Heat are willing to deal Duncan Robinson, they are not at this point willing to deal Tyler Hero, because in part, Hero is still on that rookie contract. It's a manageable salary, and he's really good. He hasn't had the type of season this year that we saw him have in the bubble, but you're still talking about a 19, 20-year-old guard who can shoot the basketball, and that's not someone that the Heat are looking to part with. So it's a game of cat and mouse that could break any second.
He's a senior writer for Sports Illustrated. He's Chris Mannix, also the host of the Crossover podcast. We're watching kind of the Denver Nuggets make a couple moves today, right? They add JaVale McGee, they add Aaron Gordon, and now you look at this team. Are they really big-time contenders now in the Western Conference? Have they caught sort of the Utah Jazz, the Lakers, the Clippers?
Well, I think they've improved significantly. You know, McGee was a nice small deal. They lost Mason Plumlee in free agency last year and didn't really replace him. So now you get a guy who they're familiar with in Denver, played there a few years or some years back now, and he's got championship experience. So, you know, that's a good guy to have coming off your bench. And the Gordon deal makes a lot of sense. You know, he's a versatile guy, can play 3-4, probably best fit as a four-man right now, who can, you know, play alongside Michael Porter or, you know, replace him in different lineups. Look, the Nuggets, they saw what they were. They were a team that was good, but not good enough to win a championship this year, which is why they pushed their chips to the middle of the table, put a first-round pick in that package that included Gary Harris, and got that deal done. And now, I don't know where they stand. You have to see how these guys kind of fit in first. But the Nuggets, you know, part of their mindset was that this, you know, at least the Western Conference is pretty wide open right now. I mean, the Lakers, they could wind up in the play-in tournament, you know, depending on how far they fall in the absence of LeBron and Anthony Davis. The Jazz are good, but they're unproven. You know, the Clippers have got problems of their own. You know, there's an opening here for any team that makes the playoffs to come out of the Western Conference, and I think the Nuggets saw that, and that's why they got aggressive in the final hours.
You mentioned playoffs, though, Chris, and for me, a guy whose name is, I think, now starting to hear more and more in the rumors is playoff Rondo, Rajon Rondo. And I know there's some teams that are probably in play for him. Where do you think or where do you see Rajon Rondo going, maybe at this trade deadline or even in the buyout market?
Well, there have been discussions between the Hawks and the Clippers about a Rondo deal. The Clippers have been proactive in looking for a guard to supplement their backcourt. They've got real problems at the playmaking positions. They rank around the bottom third in the league in assists. You know, Patrick Beverley, Lou Williams, these are not playmakers. They're good in their own rights. Williams is a scorer and Beverly's a defender, but they're not playmakers. They need something in that mix. They've talked about Ricky Rubio. He's still available. George Hill was someone on their radar, but he was traded today to Philadelphia. Now you've got Rondo currently in the mix. Rondo would be a good addition for the Clippers. We know about his playoff experience, how he steps up his game every postseason, and he's exactly what the doctor ordered, a guy that, you know, can just find Paul George, find Kawhi Leonard, get them easy shots, play well in transition. That would be, I think, a strong and badly needed pickup for the Clippers.
You know, as this trade deadline is approaching, the one thing I'm just kind of been looking at over the last couple of days is that obviously we think it's going to be an NBA Finals between the Los Angeles Lakers and the Brooklyn Nets. Is there any concern with what's going on in Los Angeles right now with LeBron James, obviously his ankle injury? They think he'll return, which he'll be fine, but with Anthony Davis and the caution that they've had, you know, with his injury, does that make the Lakers feel like they may need to make a move or just kind of hope that the rest that both these guys will get, they'll be ready to go come playoff time?
Well, if you have a chance to add a Kyle Lowry and not give up a Horton Tucker in that deal, you've got to go at least try. I mean, Dennis Schroeder's been excellent for this team. They were 0-4 about a month ago when Schroeder was out in the health and safety protocols. So right. His value, there's a numeric number attached to that value. So I think they'd be fine standing pat, but going to get a Kyle Lowry would obviously upgrade that team. You know, I think for the Lakers, it's all about when they get AD and LeBron back and how healthy they are going into the playoffs. If both those guys have a month to shake the rust off and get past their injury problems, Lakers are going to be fine. It doesn't really matter where they finish the season. Home court advantage is largely meaningless this year, even if, you know, some fans are allowed to trickle back into most buildings. And the Lakers, in LeBron's career, his teams have won on the road. The Lakers, there's no reason to believe they can't do it either. So, to me, it's less about what the Lakers do now, what they do in the buyout market, as just how healthy and how sharp are LeBron and AD come playoff time.
Chris Mannix, senior writer for Sports Illustrated, here on the Rich Eisen Show, Kirk Morrison in for Rich. And, you know, there was a news this week that, you know, Kyrie Irving's going to spend a little time away, personal matter, won't, you know, go on a road trip. And then you still have the Kevin Durant situation. They do add Blake Griffin, we know, from the buyout market. But how are we viewing Brooklyn right now? Is it still this process of they're still getting themselves together and don't worry, everything will be fine by the playoffs? Or is it still, are they the favorite in the East and not necessarily the 76ers, who right now currently have the best spot in the Eastern Conference?
No, I think you make Brooklyn the favorite in the East. I mean, the Sixers have been out there scouring the trade market for more backcourt depth. They got George Hill. He's fine, but I'm not sure he's, you know, some kind of difference-making upgrade, whereas the Nets have just kind of sat back and said, we need to get our guys healthy, and then we need to scour the buyout market, where they're going to be big players. I mean, one name to watch with the Nets over the next week or so, I think, is going to be J.J. Redick. I mean, J.J. Redick has not played particularly well with the Pelicans. The Pelicans are going nowhere this season. I could see the Pelicans coming to an agreement with Redick for a buyout. And Redick spends his off seasons in Brooklyn. He has a house in Brooklyn. And he would be, I think, an ideal fit with that Nets team, which could use another shooter playing opposite Durant and Kyrie and James Harden. So, you know, the Nets are not doing anything at the trade deadline, but they may not be done. And even if they are done, having three snipers like Harden, Durant, and Irving, you're just going to be really tough for anybody to beat.
Well, I know whoever gets Andre Drummond, he'll be well rested, right? He has been doing a little bit of anything. But tell me about Andre Drummond. No, what's it look like over the next couple of days for him?
Well, Drummond is eventually going to get waived or bought out. I mean, there's the question I've been told about how much money Drummond's willing to give back to Cleveland. I'm told nothing at all, and that it may get me delay that a little bit as they try to work that out. But he'll eventually be a free agent. You know, the marquee teams are going to go after him. The Lakers, you know, I think they might even be able to promise him a starting role. Wow. With that team, which I think would be appealing to Andre Drummond. The Clippers will make a run at him. The Nets will make a run at him. The Knicks are interesting because the Knicks, from what I'm hearing, the Knicks may be willing to do more than just give Andre Drummond rest of the season type of contract. They may be willing to offer him something with their cap flexibility that extends into next season. If the number's right, that could become appealing to Drummond. It's a weird offseason this year where not a ton of teams have cap space, and even more, the teams that do aren't looking to spend on Andre Drummond. Like Oklahoma City is not going to chase Andre Drummond this offseason. So I keep one eye on the Knicks as far as Drummond goes. If they're willing to go into a second year at a reasonable number, that could be enough to entice Drummond away from one of the projected title contenders.
Is there any other names on that buyout market that we should be aware of? Because in the buyout market, you're just grabbing guys. They're more depth than anything. They're not going to change the way your roster or how you play the game, but any more depth guys that we should keep an eye out for?
Well, LaMarcus Aldridge is the big name that'll be out there at some point. He'll get a buyout from San Antonio. I've been told Miami is in a strong position there. You know, Phoenix would be a team to watch with Aldridge as well. He almost signed there back in 2015, and that's a team obviously on the rise that could use him. But I think with the way Miami is made up, you know, Aldridge could step in there and I think have a big role with that team, whether it's backing up Bam Adebayo, playing alongside him. I think Miami's in a good position for LaMarcus Aldridge.
Senior writer for Sports Illustrated, Chris Mannix, joining the Rich Eisen Show. Kirk Morrison here filling in for Rich. kind of get your opinion on this one, Chris, because I think last year the NBA wanted to see how it would work, and that play-in sort of tournament format, it gave you something. Maybe it might have been the best basketball, but it gave you something, and I thought it entertained me. And to see them going back to it again this year and to seeing what it has done for a team like the Chicago Bulls, who any other year they're probably worried about next season. But because they have an opportunity to have a chance to make the true playoffs and not just the play-in, do you think the NBA is now getting it right? They like this when they want to keep it going and moving forward?
I think there'll be some modifications to it if it exists beyond this year. The play-in tournament has been, you know, really good. It's been fun. It's also kind of slowed the trade deadline down a little bit because there are teams out there like a Sacramento and others that, you know, are within, you know, shouting distance of that play-in tournament, and that makes them less likely to kind of tear things down and make a deal. I don't think you'll have 10 teams have an opportunity. I think that'll be whittled down. I think you'll probably could have seen 9 teams be in the mix, but only if that 9th team is within like one game or 2 games of that 8th and final playoff spot. It's not going to be a situation where, you know, the top 8 are teams with above 500 records and the 9th seed team is below 500, but they have a chance to get in the playoff to the play. And there'll be some tweaks to it, but I do think some version of it is probably here to stay because it does make the end of the season a lot more compelling. And the NBA's had a problem with that historically, where in the last month of the season, you've got teams tanking, you've got just bad basketball overall. This will at least increase in some level the quality of the game in the final months.
Last question before I let you go, Chris. I know I was with some friends this weekend, and we were just talking about basketball, and we were talking about just the you know, the NBA's Rookie of the Year. I know LaMelo Ball is going to probably be out for the season, be reevaluated after having the wrist surgery, but right now, who is your Rookie of the Year in the NBA?
Well, LaMelo, as we sit, is a clear Rookie of the Year. The question is going to be, will he be that in a month and a half? Patrick Ewing has the lowest number of games played to win Rookie of the Year. That was 50 back in 1986. LaMelo will, of course, finish below that if he's done for the season. But the competition is not great. I mean, Anthony Edwards has had a solid year with Minnesota, but you can certainly argue that there's a lot of empty calories there for a bad Minnesota team. James Wiseman's had his moments. Tyrese Halliburton has had his moments. I think voters, and I'm one of them, are going to have to decide if, you know, kind of the way LaMelo played for 41 games carries more value than the way other players played for 60 or 70 games or whatever they finish with at the end of the season. I put a lot of value in players that impact winning, and there's no question LaMelo impacted winning in his 41 games with the Charlotte Hornets. And if you look around, no, none of the other guys did. I mean, the teams, the players that we're talking about, the teams that they're on, you know, not very good in general. So I lean towards LaMelo regardless of if he's out for the season, but, you know, it's a very fluid situation. You could see Anthony Edwards go on the kind of tear that, you know, kind of forces you to vote for him. Same thing with Halliburton if the Kings can get back in the playoff mix. There's a lot of variables still in play there.
Yeah, but this is a real time. This is why we call it live radio, live television, Chris, because as we've been speaking, the Clippers have made that deal for Rajon Rondo. They give up they give up Lou Williams. So Williams for Rondo, I guess, in 2 second-round picks. Just your live reaction and thoughts on the trade.
And no surprise that the Clippers found a playmaker. It was priority number one for them, you know, over the last few days. Williams could be an interesting name in the buyout market if he's not rerouted in a trade, which we're getting damn close to the end of the deadline. Right. You could see Williams bought out, and look, he's a former Sixth Man of the Year winner who can score. So there will be a market for Lou Williams as a buyout candidate if the Hawks part ways with him.
Well, I guess there's going to be a lot to talk about on the crossover podcast with you and Howard Beck. So make sure you all listen to that, man. Appreciate the time, Chris.
You got it. No problem.
Yeah, that's Chris Mannix, senior writer for Sports Illustrated at SI Chris Mannix on Twitter and the co-host with Howard Beck of the Crossover Podcast. And just like that, Rondo is a Clipper, TJ. Really quickly, your thoughts.
I mean, just like we spoke about earlier, it's, you know, we needed that playmaker in right there. We're a team without a true playmaker.
So humble you are.
The thing, well, you know, Kirk, I'm trying. You know,
you're
it's
so
just,
humble.
It depends on what
like,
day
I'll
you get
smiling,
me.
I'll be
really.
Smiling. I'll be jumping up and down. Like,
just,
hey, well, you know,
by the way, guys, I'm just here for Lou Williams to Atlanta jokes.
Oh,
well,
yes.
Well, this is where I was going to go
you
to
know what
next.
I mean? Hey, come on, people.
Lou Williams, baby.
Lou Williams claimed a few weeks ago that if he were traded, he was going to retire from the NBA. And now he's from Atlanta. Right. He gets to go back home. Magic City's kitchen is probably going nuts right
going
now.
Nuts right now.
Remember they tweeted us, send us some wings, Magic City
yeah,
Kitchen. It's a celebratory
Magic City
thing.
Should have Lou Will Appreciation Night like today.
Yeah, Lou I want those lemon pepper. If like, they could get those on. In a FedEx package to yeah. us in 24 hours, get us. I'm but good. Yeah, man, as a Clipper fan, like I love Lou Will.
Right.
You know, you're sad to see him go, but it fills a need that was definitely,
yeah.
we had that need and now it's filled.
It'll be a fun playoffs now, right? Yeah. Rajon Rondo now. A fun playoffs, crazy. Montrezl Harrell goes over to the Lakers
Rondo,
and then Rondo
man.
Crosses
and, And like I said, Kirk, earlier, just
Clippers.
Think about this. The chances are, okay, slim, whatever, but if Rajon Rondo were to win another ring with the Clippers of all teams, I think that definitely solidifies himself as that Hall of Fame.
Yeah, he ties himself with LeBron, right?
Three teams, yeah.
Three championships, three different franchises.
But you win a championship, you win that chip with the Clippers.
Mm.
That's a whole nother thing right there.
All right, we'll see. We will see because I don't know. I'm trying to figure this all out. Yeah, I want people to chime in on
yeah,
this.
Smarter
one.
People
if
than
John
me
Rondo wins
can talk
the championship.
About this.
Okay, 844-204-RICH, 844-204-7424. More Rich Eisen Show. Kirk Morrison filling in for Rich.
Let's talk O'Reilly Auto Parts, people, or as you might know from their jingle, O'Reilly Auto Parts. They're in the business of keeping your car on the road. O'Reilly Auto Parts offers friendly, helpful service and the parts knowledge you need for all your maintenance and repairs. Because you know when you need your car fixed, you need somebody who knows what they're talking about and is helpful, has a smile on their face, and gets you back on the road. They've got thousands of parts and accessories in stock, either in-store or online, so you never have to worry if you're in a jam. The team at O'Reilly Auto Parts can test your battery for free in or out of your car. If it needs to be replaced, they'll help you just find the right battery for your vehicle. Need your windshield wipers replaced, a brake light fix, or a quick service? They'll help you find the right part or point you to the nearest local repair shop for help. Whether you're a car aficionado or an auto novice, you will find the employees at O'Reilly Auto Parts knowledgeable, helpful, and the best of all, friendly. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit us at OReillyAuto.com/Eisen. That's OReillyAuto.com/Eisen.
What's up, everyone? It's Reality Steve, your number one source for all things Bachelor Nation and reality TV. Every day, I'm giving you the behind-the-scenes juice and your info on all your Bachelor Nation stories and also interviewing some of your favorite reality stars. My name has been synonymous with spoilers, but I'm so much more than that. Give me a listen.
The Reality Steve Podcast, part of the Believe Network. Just search BLEAV on YouTube or wherever you listen.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Welcome in. Welcome back, I should say, to the Rich Eisen Show. Kirk Morrison filling in for Rich as he finishes up a little bit of vacay. Ryan Leaf will be back in the seat tomorrow. And then Rich will be back on Monday. But I'm always having fun with the guys, as always.
Yeah.
Brock Del Tufo, TJ, who is just excited about what's going on with the Clippers.
I might be the only one. I mean, Twitter is kind of 50-50
yeah.
right now.
Yeah,
oh,
50-50.
Really?
What
are they saying? What are they saying
about it?
They mad? First of all, Twitter is a place where angry people go, so
right.
they're going to be mad about anything. So
yeah. I'm just kind of laughing at if Rajon Rondo is able to win a championship, like, which ceremony does he go to? Because he still hasn't really went to the Lakers ceremony yet. You know what I mean? So he may have a banner for both teams in the Staples Center. Think about that. Like, I'm just, like, kind of going to...
Man, you guys talked about it, but if Rondo wins a championship with the Clippers...
He's Hall of Famer.
A Hall of Famer lock.
Yeah.
The two most storied franchise and the Clippers?
And yeah, I mean, Clippers? Yeah, I can see that. Like, similar, I mean, LeBron is in obviously kind of his own world, but... Yeah. When he won in Cleveland, it was kind of similar. When he won with the Lakers, you're like, okay, storied franchise.
Yeah, of course.
He kind of checked that one off the list.
Yeah.
Miami had won a championship before, but still he checked that off the list. Yeah. But then you think about the Cleveland Cavaliers one, you're like, all right, you got one. So Rajon Rondo can win one with the Clippers and actually have back-to-back championships. That's unreal right there.
Man, that would be something.
Whew, yeah, good. I had a couple things for you guys too, man. So I know we've been telling a lot of stories. So I retired. I don't know if I retired from the NFL.
Are you officially retired? Did you file your paperwork?
There is no paperwork that you truly file.
Really? Because that's all we ever heard from like Brett Favre and all these guys. They haven't filed their retirement papers.
That's all for show.
All right, fair.
Like, you're retired. Like, when a team doesn't pick you up or you don't sign with a team, you're just retired. You know what I mean? Like, some guys get that, you know, that ceremony or that press conference. Other guys like myself, like, I didn't get that. I mean, literally – I worked out for a couple teams in 2013, and me and my wife had the conversation, right? The conversation which some players may have come up this summer. Do you want to play football? Do you need to play football? I was like, golly, I want to play football. Did I need to play football? Probably not necessarily. And I was like, okay, you know what? I do want to get into what I've always loved to do. And I was a broadcaster. In college, I broadcasted my first football game as a color analyst. All right, so I'm fully in college, and yet I'm working with the local station down there in San Diego. And now that I realize it, as I'm older, I was some free labor for them, right? Because they couldn't
absolutely,
pay,
man. Right?
So it was like I was interning. I'm doing all this free labor. I mean,
that's a whole other Twitter discussion if we want to get
right
for another day.
Oh boy,
for but another day.
It did give me a taste of broadcast and a taste of television and radio, and I couldn't. I said, you know what? This is what I want to do. I love playing football, and that's always going to be my passion. I'm going to be involved with football some kind of way, but I always wanted to be a broadcaster as well. And so when I finally retired. When I just said, you know what, I'm going to go into broadcasting. This is when I met Mike Del Tufo and the guys. I started over at Fox when they did launched the FS1, the first Fox Sports 1 network. And I was in L.A. I lived in L.A., so I lived not too far from the studio. And I was able to get my, get my bearings and learn more and more about broadcasting. Even though I had already was doing it, I was hosting a show with Rob Dibble, right? Radio show as an active player. So I was active in the NFL my last three seasons in the NFL, and I'm hosting a national syndicated radio show on the weekends, right? So it was fun. We're in some good markets, and I'm getting my chops together. And then finally, I went all in. Like I said, I joined FS1, and after 1 year, they say, "Would you like to call an NFL game?" I'm just like, you darn right I do.
Oh, yeah.
And I was the color analyst for my college at San Diego State. I did that with the great Ted Leitner, who's also the Padres play-by-play, formerly used to be. Now he's taking another position within the organization. But when I called my first NFL game, I was kind of starstruck a little bit because they teamed me up with a guy by the name of Dick Stockton.
Oh, yeah, man. I remember this.
And Dick Stockton is a guy who I watched for, listened to. I wouldn't say I listened to. And today it was announced that Dick Stockton is retiring from broadcasting in 65 years of broadcasting. And my first opportunity to call NFL games, he was my play-by-play partner. And so I just wanted to tell him congratulations on, I guess, a career of some of the biggest moments in sports. Like, he was the voice of the NBA.
Oh yeah.
A lot, you know, and this was the NBA was on in the
80s.
Like, it was Dick Stockton and Marv Albert. Mm-hmm. It was those voices. And then he had the NFL. And so, I remember just sitting down with him at dinner and just thinking, like, you've covered some of the biggest events in sports. Like, I can't even imagine what it was like, in the old garden, right? With Lakers and Celtics or Dr. J and those matchups with the 76ers. And I just think about just all that knowledge. And that's why, I mean, if you sit down with a play-by-play guy, they've got everything for you. They've been to the venues. They know the city. They can, first of all, I can tell you anywhere to go eat at, by the way.
right.
But they have their routines.
Any hotel bar. Anything.
The important stuff.
Yeah. So
this place has the good stuff.
It was funny because, so here I am. I am so nervous. My first game I'm broadcasting.
Who was it? You remember?
Yeah, it was Vikings at Rams.
Okay.
Vikings at Rams. North Turner was the offensive coordinator, I think, with the Vikings at the time. This was the Rams were in St. Louis.
St. Louis, I was just going to say. It's right
this
before they moved.
St. Louis. Yep. Yeah. And I want to say that my our sideline reporter was Christina Pink.
Hey,
yeah, yes. You know, obviously, she's moved on to bigger and better, by the way.
She's left everybody at her desk. Yeah,
she, you know, I didn't follow in her rise, but, you know, obviously, but it was fun to just get started with a legend like, you know, Dick Stockton. So I wanted to give him a shout out to and say, man, congratulations on an outstanding broadcasting career, calling some of the greatest moments in sports. I think he did a little bit of everything. I want to say he did a little bit of hockey. He's done golf, I believe. He's done – because I always ask, is there a sport that you haven't done? And they were like, no, I pretty much done it all, you know. So I wanted to thank him for giving me that opportunity to start with him. And I remember we're doing the open. So before the broadcast even starts, there's always the open. For me, that is the worst part of the actual broadcast. I am scared to death to do an open.
Because
you're on camera, yeah. And it's live. And I'm like, I can sit here and do a radio show with you guys and live. But I don't see the cameras. Like,
no.
The cameras are on you, but you don't see them.
We're looking at each
around.
Other.
Yep. TJ's here. Del Tufo's here.
Yep.
I got Brock, and I'm talking. There's a camera that's on me. But I'm not speaking directly to the camera.
And it's hard to get used to that.
It's hard to get used to that. And then all of a sudden.
And also the booth, right? Isn't the camera like right?
Oh, the camera's right there.
It's like right in your face.
And so here we are, boom, you know, first game. And I'm like, I'm nervous. And I got these little cards up. And I'm asking, hey, you know, hey, Dick, what are you going to ask me? You know, what is it? Is it, you know, Sam Bradford and how, the Rams are going to be missing him and. I think the quarterback was I forget who the quarterback was.
Like Sean Mannion or something weird.
It may
like
have been
that.
One of those. And so, you know, here I am. I'm jotting all these notes. And I'm getting ready. And he literally grabs my card and throws it.
It's fantastic.
I'm like, what are you doing? He was like, no, we're not. Because we were doing a rehearsal first. And he says, no, I want your true, raw, live thoughts on this team.
Because
that's what the people want.
Yep.
Don't go there rehearsing it. I'm like, but I need to rehearse. I want to make sure. And then, boom, right? We did a little rehearsal. And right when I'm about to talk, he literally just kind of cuts me off, you know, just so I couldn't hear it. And then we go on live and say, here we go. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Hey, I'm Dick Stockton here at the Edward Jones Dome in St. Louis. It's the Vikings versus the Rams. I'm here with Kirk Morrison. And here I am.
Camera.
And then, boom. And you're on camera. Yeah. And it's just how you feel about the matchup. Hey, here's a team that – you know, obviously going into the season, they had Sam Bradford, obviously injury in the offseason. I mean, during training camp. And all of a sudden, they're scrambling a little bit. We'll see what this offense looks like. On the other side is the Vikings and Adrian Peterson. There's not much you have to think about that. You hand the ball off to Adrian Peterson, and you hope that he can take you to victory. And that was it. And it just kind of flows. But, man, I was so nervous. But, that's how a guy like Stockton would do the young rookie. You know what I mean? Still getting hazed.
And now look at you.
Yeah, look
I mean,
at you.
Exactly.
Hey, you're everywhere.
Right, I appreciate it, man.
Can't hold you down
doing
now.
Your thing.
Well, I got the FCS playoffs coming up. And a Vanderbilt spring game. I'm kind of excited about that. Yeah.
And Brockman Stockton, another Syracuse guy.
Stockton is another Syracuse guy.
Oh, my God.
Man.
Here we go. These songs.
Absolute legend in the biz, Dick Stockton.
Yeah, we got to hear about all the Syracuse guys. Trust me, I hear it enough. One of my old play-by-play guys, Mike Cousins, is a Syracuse guy. They'll tell you they're a Syracuse. I didn't ask you that.
I didn't bring it up. TJ brought it up. Also,
I figured he would. So
we're going to the Elite Eight this weekend. We're going to take down Houston.
Book it. Ryan Leaf will be in tomorrow in Rich's chair. I said Rich will be back on Monday.
Always a pleasure, man.
I know if you're watching on Peacock, stay tuned. More to come here as well. Special thanks to our guests, Ian Rappaport, Aaron Wilson, Chris Mannix. For Mike Del Tufo, Chris Brockman,
great job,
TJ
buddy.
Jefferson, Don Bowie, our producer. I'm Kirk Morrison.